Chapter 1. 24th of December, London, England. Benjamin Ward, the 5th Duke of Silkridge, reached for another bottle of champagne. The guests who filled his home with amusement and laughter weren't the patronesses of Almack or his peers in the House of Lords. These friends were like him, rudderless in the worst time of the year to be alone. Christmastide. Not that this was a Christmas house party. Benjamin did not celebrate Christmas, or Yule, or Twelfth Night, or anything else that reminded him of the past.
Champagne!
He called out, just before the pop filled the air. A trickle of fizzy foam bubbled out over the edge of the bottle. A dozen crystal glasses swung his way at once. He grinned at his first cousins, and heirs presumptive, Nicholas and Christopher, as he refilled their glasses.
"You'd make a splendid footman," Nicholas said with a straight face, "if you tire of the Duke thing."
"Alas," Christopher interjected, "Silkridge will never tire of the Duke thing. When he is not in the House of Lords, he is discussing politics in gentlemen's clubs. When he is not discussing politics in gentlemen's clubs, he's off in coffee houses interviewing the people about politics. When he's not in the coffee houses, he's rebuffing the subtle machinations of matchmaking mamas everywhere," Nicholas finished.
"They're not subtle," Benjamin said with a grimace. "When you're a duke, you'll discover what it's like."
"I already know what it's like,"
Nicholas groaned in commiseration. Although he possessed no title, he was London's most celebrated rake. Doe-eyed debutantes swooned in his wake everywhere he went. Christopher pressed a hand to his cravat.
"You poor lads, how deeply you must suffer to be so handsome and so powerful that hopeful young ladies pile up about you like snowdrifts. You may think you'll never marry, but one day..."
Music filled the parlour, drowning out whatever romantic curse Christopher had hoped to inflict upon them. Nicholas pointed to his ear in an exaggerated, "What? I can't hear you," gesture, and swung the closest woman before the orchestra to dance. Christopher rolled his eyes in good-natured frustration and followed suit. The series of musicians Benjamin had hired to entertain the party over the next several days had, like the rest of the guests, nowhere else to be. The pianist was new to town, the violinist between plays, the flautist a young hopeful, dreaming of one day performing at Vauxhall. If they were a motley crew, so were Benjamin's companions. He and his cousins were the last of their family. The widow, in Nicholas's arms, had no one at all. Everyone present would have finished out the year all alone, had it not been for the un-Yuletide celebration. For 12 days they'd have each other. No one need fear so much as a whisper of Christmas's best forgotten. As always, the unwelcome reminder of everything he'd put behind him brought to mind a shimmer of the one bright spot in all that darkness. Warm brown eyes, soft pink lips, clever wit. Despite Benjamin's best efforts, Noel Pratchett had imprinted on his soul. He sighed. Despite endless champagne and a house full of music and people, the empty ache inside his chest only grew wider. He flagged down a passing footman.
"John, has the Gazette arrived?"
No need to specify which. Benjamin had been trying to remove his name from the Cressmith Gazette's subscriber list ever since the day he'd unexpectedly received its first issue. No matter how many stern letters his man of business sent on Benjamin's behalf, the relentless 4-page publication arrived on the doorstep every 3 months without fail. Until this winter.
"Not yet, Your Grace," the footman answered. "Perhaps they've finally removed your name from the list."
Pity. Benjamin had been looking forward to throwing it in the fire. Well, after he'd scoured it for mention of Noel. But there never was. Not enough, anyway.
"I am glad," he informed the footman.
And he should have been. He did not require the unsolicited delivery of a tiny local journal to know what the latest news would be. Cressmith was colloquially known as Christmas, a pristine speck of a village high atop a lonesome mountain in the northernmost corner of England, punctuated by a folly of a castle, amid an endless sea of evergreens.